Our scripture this time comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above and not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and you have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved and free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time that we come together to worship you and to hear your word. Father, we pray that as we listen to your word, we would be transformed into the people you want us to be. Father, we pray for the one who speaks. Forgive his sins, for they are many, that we may see in him Jesus and Jesus only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was extremely excited when I first received the invitation to preach at this event. What an incredible honor. I mean, I was so excited. I even said yes before I checked my calendar. I mean, I don't know who thought of my name or who decided to, you know, who was crazy enough to invite me, but I was so excited. I didn't care if I had something in my calendar. I mean, whomever it was in my calendar, I couldn't pass preaching at this event. I imagined the call. I mean, you know, Bishop. Yeah, you know that meeting you invited me about the future of the denomination? Yeah, you know. Yeah, I think I'm going to be sick. I don't know that I can make it. I know it's 3 months from now, but I know. I just know I'm going to be sick. I was so excited until I got this text assignment. I mean, did you hear this text? This is a rough text. As I read it, I kept thinking, how come I didn't get that gorgeous Colossians 1, 15 through 20 text? You know, the one that extols the greatness of Christ? I mean, that text which proclaims that Christ is above everything. The text that inspires us to look beyond the powers of this world, the mundaneness of this world, and invites us to worship only God. The text that sets Christ as the one that the imitators of this world try to imitate but can't come close to. No. I got this text. I got stuck with the text filled with do's and don'ts. Not only a laundry list, but the laundry list of our favorite sports. We thrive in anger, malice, slander, and abusive language. It happens so much that we become immune to it. I mean, have you seen your Twitter or Facebook or Insta or the Gram? I'm told some people call it the Gram. Have you seen those? I mean, have you seen the flourishing of places like Tinder? Have you seen your TikTok lately? we have raised the bar on practicing these behaviors. Even the church. Oh, yeah. Even the church. We've fallen into these behaviors as we cancel our theological opponents and point fingers for the demise of our churches, denominations, and especially society on someone else. It is their fault. Those beep, beep, boop, beep, 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 beep. I'm glad it got beeped out. Yeah, would have been embarrassing. As I struggle with this text, and in coming to terms with the fact that I had accepted the invitation, and that this was my text, I began to think about this text, and it made it worse. How am I supposed to live as if I am dead to the world? How do I focus on the things that are above when my daily consumption of media keeps me tied to this world? How can I focus on the things of above when there are budgets to be raised and people to counsel and worships to plan and find excuses not to go to the meeting with the bishop or the presbytery? How can I put to death all the things that are so sensual and intoxicating and addicting? We wear them well, and they fit comfortably. It is so easy to come out of that board meeting and have some choice thoughts for those members that oppose our grand vision for growth in the future. This text is a problem. This text is problematic. When my level of frustration with this text was so high, I did the only thing I could do. I opened my computer and started writing an email to Scott about the meeting with the bishop that had been called that I needed to attend. No, I started to pray. And as I started to pray and ask the Lord, how do I hide my life in you? How do I live as if I am dead to the world? And as I prayed, the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. I realize that through baptism, we have been grafted into Christ. Through baptism, we become a part of him. We now embody him. Just like marriage redefines us, baptism redefines us. To be Christ icons because we now embody him. Through baptism, we become clothed in Christ. Now, our identity is Christ. He has become, I hope, our second skin. I had the text wrong. It is not that we have a list of do's and don'ts. It's not that I must try to be good and have a life pleasing to God. The answer to my dilemma was that if I surrender to Christ and I remain close to him, he will produce good fruit in me. If I remain clothed in Christ, he will produce in me the opposite to anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive language. When we are connected to Christ and remain clothed in him, the Holy Spirit begins a transformation process. I don't transform myself. You don't transform yourself. It is the job of the Holy Spirit that comes in, as Puerto Rican theologian Samuel Sullivan calls, the violence of God's love. The Holy Spirit comes in lovingly and graciously, but it begins to break and remove and take away and throw away the anger and the wrath and the malice from our hearts. It's a hard process. It's a hard process. It's not a process for cowards. But if we surrender, Jesus recalibrates our minds to the things that are above. When I remain grafted in Him, I cannot continue to be connected to this world. If I am connected to Christ, I must reject the alliances of this world. I cannot be clothed in Christ and also be clothed in my flavor of partisan politics. I cannot be clothed in Christ and also be clothed in my Republican or Democrat outfit.
All right.
I cannot be clothed in Christ and continue to put my hope on politicians or political solutions. When you're clothed in Christ, there is no other power greater than Christ. My job is to remain connected to Him. My job is to clothe myself in Him. And Jesus will do the rest in me and through me. But I'm not talking about escapism. I'm not talking about hiding in my prayer closet while the world collapses around me. On the contrary, the more we focus on the things that are above, the more conscious we become of this world around us. Because the more we focus on Christ, the more I cling to my identity in Him, the easier it is to embody Him in the world. And the easier it is for Him to act through me. If He is supreme, nothing else can be supreme in my life. If I am connected to Him, there is no room for anything else. When you are clothed in Christ, He can act through you. When we embody Him, we stop judging the differences among us. The differences are real. I'm Puerto Rican. I like rice and beans, pork chunks, tostones, pasteles. I like that. I love that. Differences are real. We talk fast, we talk loud. Differences are real. We're not angry, we just talk loud. The differences are real, but when I'm clothed in Christ, I am mindful that those differences, while real, are not the reason for me to judge someone else. When we are clothed in Christ, we stop judging each other by our differences. When we are clothed in Christ, we see the world through His eyes. We begin to see each other through His eyes. In His most famous sermon preached during World War II, C.S. Lewis said, "Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses." When we clothe ourselves in Christ, we see the person next to us as the holiest person, the holiest object I can come across. I married way out of my league. I'm like a 3 and my wife is a 9, and the only reason she's a 9 is because there's got to be something wrong that she chose me. But anyway, she's the bravest person I know. And she's the most committed Christian I know. She has spent about 25 years of her life in social services. But she was so shaped by her first job out of school. She worked for the Miami-Dade County Homeless Trust. Her job was to go out on the streets with a partner in a van and convince people to get out of from under the bridge into a shelter. She tells me the story of a man she came across. Happened to be African American. And she came across this man living under a bridge. And she said that he probably had not seen soap and water in a while. His hair was all matted. He was dirty. His clothes were dirty. He smelled. He probably had soiled himself on his clothes. He definitely needed medications to help him stabilize. He was hallucinating. And she tells the story of how she and her partner convinced him to come into the van to go to the shelter. She told me that it was a rough ride back to the shelter. He smelled. He wasn't looking right. He kept hallucinating things. And when she got to the shelter, they helped him out of the van. They helped him into a shower. When he came out of that shower, she said he was a different man. And when the doctor saw him and gave him some medication, he certainly became a different person. And she says that at that moment, it shaped her life to serve others and to see them as Christ sees them. Not by the judgments that you and I might make in our world and in our society, but to see people through the eyes of Christ. 25 years, she's still at it. Now she's working with juveniles that are on probation. I say, she's the bravest woman I know and a committed Christian. Because if I'm clothed in Christ, I can see what Jesus sees. The person next to you is the holiest thing you will encounter today in Christ's name. Because if I'm connected to Christ, I can treat others with love and grace and not injure them through anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive language. Take a moment. Look at the person next to you. That's the holiest thing you will encounter today. In Christ's name, that is the holiest thing you will encounter today. It doesn't matter if that person thinks differently than you. It doesn't matter if that person looks differently than you. It doesn't matter if that person doesn't vote like you vote. It doesn't matter if it's that person that holds values that you don't agree with. That person is the holiest thing that you will encounter today. Because when we clothe ourselves in Christ, when we put on Christ, when we, through our baptism, become the embodiment, the icon of Christ, we begin to see the world the way he sees it and begin to bear the fruits that he wants to produce in us. I got the text wrong. And I'm so glad that I got on the plane and I came to talk to you about my misreading of the text. Because the truth is that since we are baptized, since we are and have been clothed in Christ, we must live his love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.